Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. When it comes to creating a cool gift on wheels, who you gonna call? Toymakers, the subject of Velocity's popular Friday night attraction. Executive producer Eric Hyman and top toy makers Damon Aiken join me next. Also ahead, bonus time with Sinclair, a show to really know this holiday weekend, our package trivia question of the week, and we say goodbye to... a sports TV pioneer and legend, Dick Enberg. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the 2017 New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Along with everybody at Blog Talk Radio and our other distributor, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, we wish you and yours a wonderful Friday before Christmas, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the program All About Television. We got some good guests we believe coming your way, and we invite you to be part of the program. 44 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and here's the way you get involved. It is raising your voice and using this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is also open for business, and it's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So get in the room and be part of the program. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. We are awaiting executive producer of Toy Makers, Eric Harriman, and the top toy maker himself, David Ecken. They will join us hopefully live from Los Angeles and North Carolina after these news notes. The nation's largest television station owner has joined the group of companies in employee bonus mode pre-Christmas. Sinclair Broadcast Group will distribute 1,000 bonuses among 9,000 employees at 170-plus television stations across the country. The bonus will go to both full and part-time employees and was put in effect following congressional passage of tax cut and reform legislation earlier this week. President Trump signed the bill this morning before leaving for a holiday vacation in Florida and Mar-a-Lago. Sinclair is awaiting regulatory approval of its bid to acquire Tribune Media, involving more than 40 TV stations, cable network WGN America, and several multicast channels. The upcoming Television Critics Association tour next month will be minus a big participant. Freeform will do its own Los Angeles thing January 18th, a summit featuring previews of new series and panel discussions dealing with social activism and diversity among the network's core audience. Breaking news in the last hour, Elizabeth Vargas will be leading ABC News and her 14-year-old role as co-anchor of 2020, the news magazine, on Friday night. That will be happening at the end of May. Vargas and ABC made the announcement, as I said, in the last hour. They said that Vargas is going to be pursuing new interests once she leaves ABC. She's been with ABC News for 20 years and started co-anchoring with current co-anchor, ABC New World Tonight anchor David Muir, 4 years ago. Once again, Elizabeth Vargas will be leading ABC News in 2020 at the end of May 2018. And as we do this program, the Weinstein Company board is in session, considering a set of bids for all part of the firm. At least 12 bids are under review, and at least 2 want to take over Weinstein's television unit. If we get any details for the end of the hour, we'll let you know. If not, whatever details do come forward by the end of today, we'll bring it to you on our next episode this coming Tuesday afternoon. And that is news notes for today. One of the great things about doing this program these past 10-plus years has not only been the opportunity to showcase the big shows that you're finding on all the different networks, but also to either showcase a network you don't know about or a TV program that, despite not getting known to the general public, is finding its way to some of the public. And that is the case with our main segment today. The show we're talking about is Toy Makers. It's now in its second season at 8 and 11 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific Time on Velocity. That is the network that started life last decade as Discovery HD Theater from Parent Discovery Communications and became Velocity 6 years ago. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, the executive producer of Toy Makers, Eric Hyman. Happy holiday season to you. Thanks for joining us.
Sure thing. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. And we are awaiting your colleague and the person that is the lead subject of your program, and David Ankin. He's supposed to join us live from North Carolina. Hopefully he'll be with us shortly. Eric, how did you and David make contact?
You know, through a mutual acquaintance that we had through the years, just being in the motorsport industry, you know, we had a lot of mutual friends and a lot of builders that had been on TV that knew of each other, and simply just by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. And what about what David does caught your attention, about the kinds of things he does with his firm and the kinds of vehicles he builds?
You know, that's a really interesting question. You know, I really tried to saddle my horse, if you will, with David for a lot of reasons. Number one, he's extremely great on camera. He's really affable and really great when it comes to giving you what you need and you know, being an entertainer in the sense, and then having the goods to back it up as a mechanic and a fabricator and a designer and a team and a business with a brand that justified a television show is really all in part. And David was, you know, kind of checked all those boxes. And it's not an easy thing to find.
So what kinds of vehicles does David do, and how does your show work in terms of the kinds of things you showcase with him and his firm?
Sure. It's a really interesting thing. You know, when we set out to build Toymakers as a brand and as a show, the primary focus was to really hold no specific loyalty to any faction or genre of motorsport. It was really to celebrate the toy maker in every person, everyone, whether you've ridden a motorcycle or a bicycle or even a skateboard down a hill fast. We all know what that feeling is, fly in the stomach feeling. And it was to really, you know, go beyond that as kids, but to take that into an adult sense, and even, you know, later in life, those things don't go away. So David, and his history was really based in things that he enjoyed and continuing that on through life. But really knowing toy makers, knowing no loyalty to any specific fashion. It was race cars. It was rat rods. It was motorcycles, fully custom fabricated vehicles from the ground up, very high horsepower, to novelty toys where we take high powered motorcycle engines and build, you know, crazy radical, what we call misfit toys. And really, you know, celebrating the toy maker and it's all. So toy makers as a whole was really centered. I hope I've answered the question, but, you know, centered itself in that kind of area. So we build high powered cars, we build high powered motorcycles and toys of all kinds that would satisfy that itch, so to speak.
By the way, we are awaiting the master toy maker himself, David Ankin. He's supposed to join us live from North Carolina this hour on Tomorrow We Televise. David, if you're hearing us, give us a call, 646-652-2906, and we'll get you on the air. And, of course, to all of our listeners, if you have a question or comment for David or Eric, then into the chat room, SimonApple04 by name, or give us a call at that same number, 646-652-2906. Once again, that number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, when David gets on the line, we will get him on the air to all of us and all of you. Eric, how easy or difficult was it to earn David's trust to do the program, go forward with it?
That's a great question. You know, it was really a mutual thing. It's such a tremendous undertaking to make a television series that, you know, we had lots of conversation for probably even a year and a half prior to committing to doing the show, because it's really a massive undertaking. They say this is close to my 30th year in television and motion pictures, and I will tell you that most of the time it's as close to military as you can get. So it was a lot. It was not only me convincing him that this was the thing to do for his future in business, it was a mutual thing, me going to myself, is this something I can really deliver and make good on and of course make popular? And so far we've been successful in doing so.
Mm-hmm. How many episodes have you done so far with this firm? And when you're taping, how many hours a day do you follow what David and his crew does?
We have 16 episodes in two seasons, and we've fully aired last season, of course, successfully, and we are at our fifth and sixth airing of episodes right now in season two, and it will run a total of eight. And as far as filming is concerned, it's a 24/7 situation. You know, we get up at 5 in the morning and finish at, you know, 6 or 7 at night. And that's for us 5 to 6 days a week, and, you know, between 3 and 5 months of principal photography before we go into post, which is another 4 to 5 months of editing and delivering the shows, what you see on TV.
And the show you do see, you can see tonight on the Velocity Cable Channel, which is from Discovery Communications. The show is called Toy Makers. It runs tonight at 8:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also appears on Saturday mornings as well. Eric Harriman is the executive producer of the program. He's joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Suave Televised. We are still waiting the Toy Makers himself, David Ankin. He's supposed to join us live from North Carolina. So, David, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as we know that you're on, we will put you on the air. This is Suave Televised, our pre-Friday Christmas edition 2017. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Thank you for joining us wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio or on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And if you have a question or comment, again, use the number 646-652-2906 or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll be joining you on Tuesday and Friday because of the way the holidays work out, both Christmas and New Year's. That's next Tuesday, the following Tuesday, and next Friday, the following Friday, at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Suave Televised. Coming your way on Tuesday, we'll have two special features for you, my countdown of the top 5 television developments of the year, and also a very special statement we do to Suave Televised members, where we highlight and pay tribute one more time to the people in front of and behind the camera who passed away this year. And boy, what a list of people, particularly on camera. Everyone from Mary Tyler Moore to Jerry Lewis to Dick Enberg to June Foray, the voice of Rocky the Flying Squirrel, Powers Booth, the miniseries and made-in-TV movie actor, Stephen First from St. Elsewhere. So many incredible people that made a big difference in the world of television. And we'll have that for you next Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Suave Be Televised. What's been the most amazing experience for you, Eric, covering this series so far?
I didn't quite hear the question. I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Yeah. What was the most amazing experience? What's been the episode that's had the most response from viewers, or what has been for you personally and your crew the most amazing thing that David's built?
The most amazing thing he's built. Gosh, that would be a tough one. They're like children. You know, they're all your favorite. And Dave, you know, some have a much longer conception and fabrication time, and others are quicker to the goal. But, gosh, my favorite. I would have to say this season's finale build is probably my favorite. It's a one-off car built from the ground up. It's been in David's conception. The conception of this car has been going on for years, and you see it come to life in this particular episode or this particular season. It's our finale build. It's the 7th episode this year. And it's a one-off car that's unlike anything anyone's ever really seen. It's got a really gnarly blower-type dragster engine. It looks like an F1 car or it looks like a drag car. You've never seen anything like this, I assure you of that. And it was overwhelmingly received at SEMA this year. And won the viewers award for the Magnaflow Best in Show. So that's probably my favorite. That's not a great one to talk about because people haven't seen a lot of it yet as it hasn't aired, but that's one to look for, and I think that's one that's really exciting. Beyond that, probably last year, the SB2 finale build was a truck. We put a NASCAR engine in, and Dave built from the ground up, and that's also, I would say, you know, one of my favorites, yeah.
Do you dive into David's family life or the life of his fellow workers?
Not so much the lives. As the shop is a 24/7 type of lifestyle thing, you, by nature, you delve into those lives a little bit. It's not so much of that type of, but we do have a familial side. David's dad does come on and work with David in the design phase occasionally. And then his son, Braden, who's 12, 13 years old or so is pretty frequent in the show. So, that side of the family life is depicted in the shop. So we do touch on, we try to reach all the toy makers, male, female, young, old, no matter, you know, what race, creed, or color, we all like to go down a hill fast, or even up a hill fast, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. One of the fun things, as I mentioned before you came on, Eric, about doing this program, is we get a chance to cover programs like this that, to the general audience, a lot of people don't know. And in researching about this, one thing that was very interesting to see is that you, this show has a very good social media following. There's like 100,000 plus likes on Facebook. How big is the social media crowd in terms of getting the word out about your series?
How big, do you ask? How big it is?
How big and how vocal? Yeah.
We really try to hang our hat heavily in the social media space. We know that's the future. We know that's where our crowd exists beyond the show. And, you know, we're reaching upwards of, as you said, well over 100,000. I think in some areas upwards of 300,000, half a million overall. And that's growing rapidly and becoming even stronger. We've launched a very great app for the show. The Toymakers app, you can get that at the App Store for free, and it allows you to experience the show in a way that I think no other app has done before. You literally launch the app while you're watching the show, and it gives you, while the show is happening on the app, it gives you little excerpts, little pictures, little things that you normally would never see behind the scenes. It also is a direct link to brands and other advertisers that have participated, perhaps the build or the episode, and then you can also see a store for merchandise from Toymakers and learn more about, you know, links to our website and more about the characters and so on. But it's a really interesting app which we are fully intending on growing, and that's not in its embryonic stage. We're now in a really heavy delivery for that, and it's working out really well. So people who tune in tonight can launch the app and have a good experience with that too.
Is the app available just on mobile, or is it available on smart TV sets and smart devices like Roku or Apple TV or Google Chromecast?
For the most part, it's a mobile app at the moment, but anywhere you could reach an app store that would enable you to download something that, you know, would be available to you like that should be accessible.
Mm-hmm. You've been involved, as you said, in this world of media for 30 years. How have you seen your side of it, unscripted television, shift and alter, particularly over the past couple of years?
Oh, gosh. It's you know, from the inception of basically, as we all talk about the internet, you know, it's gone full circle, 180, 100% different from where it began. You know, modern television was always based on advertising, commercial sales, and now that everyone has a DVR and basically record their programming when they want to, commercials between shows become less valuable, and therefore that model of television is changing quite rapidly. And for that reason, you see bigger efforts with social media and internet radio stations and other types of ways of reaching people, because television, although still is one of the largest, most focused, and I think will continue to be for a while, you know, you can't deny the overwhelming ability to reach a mass amount of people on the internet. I think with a television show like Toymakers, what we've done making it successful, I think it's helped in guiding people to a more interactive type of situation. So television really ties in nicely. I think it's kind of the flagship or really the benchmark that's needed to make something like this go and be well received, and so far it has been.
Eric Harriman is the executive producer of Toymakers. It's Velocity's popular Friday night series. You can catch the latest installment tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern and 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on Velocity. That's the automotive channel that is now in its sixth year on the air and owned by parents, Discovery Communications. Eric joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. And we're still trying to get the man who is the toy maker himself from North Carolina, David Ankin. We'll see if we can try to get him in the next few minutes. If not, we'll have to, unfortunately, go without. And we appreciate that he made the effort to come on. Anyway, if you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Next Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, our final episode of 2017, Anthony Ha, the correspondent Tech Bunch, will join me. We'll look ahead to the year of TV technology 2018, especially the CES show going on in Las Vegas the first 2 weeks. Second week, I believe, of 2018. We'll talk about everything from where smart TV sets and smart TVs are at, the different artificial intelligence like Siri and Alexa making, and what could be the sleeper technology impacting television next year. That's Anthony Ha from TechCrunch next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And our first show of the new year will be January 2nd, also a Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. And among my guests, we'll have the comedy duo behind Freeform's new original series, Alone Together, Esther Pavitsky and Benji Alfalo. That's coming up from Alone Together next week from Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, live and exclusive right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Eric, while you're waiting for Velocity to give you a new season of Toy Makers, what other shows are you working on?
None at the moment. I have other things in development, but really this is such a big focus. You know, we are talking about live events for Toy Makers and literally going to things like Daytona Bike Week and Speed Week and Sturgis and these types of things with branded tents and trucks to basically bring Toy Makers to the ground. That was always part of the effort that David and I built. You know, the television show was always a means to show people what David does and who we are, and then eventually to take that to the street. And so the effort is, you know, there. We're also focused on season 3 right now, which we're attempting to get back in production in April and May of 2018. So the focus is definitely there.
Yeah. And with these events, would they be just in the South, or would they be spread out around the country?
No, the idea would be to take it around the country, you know, to the places, of course, where weather and location permit. The idea is to, you know, of course, we may start in the South, but the idea is to really take it nationwide.
And when it comes to programs in development, do you want to stay in the automotive space, or do you want to try different types of unscripted or even make a move into scripted TV?
No, you know, I come from motion pictures. I'm a former music, I say former, I still do it, but I'm a music supervisor, and I did quite a few large, you know, wide release motion pictures, and that's how I cut my teeth in this business. So I'm not, you know, I enjoy motorsport, and I am a driver, a racer, and it was that also that was something that, you know, David and I really so eye to eye on. You know, we're not just guys who make TV about a guy who makes these things. A good portion of my staff, my director and I, we're savvy, you know, guys when it comes to motors and engines and motorcycles and riding and driving and racing, because that's what we do in our pastime. So it was a natural to want to do something in an area where you want to work, number one. So I would like to focus in motorsport. It's a really great place to be. Retail is really strong in this area. I mean, basically we cater to anyone who goes to an AutoZone or an O'Reilly or any of those you know, types of establishments. So I feel like motorsport is a good place. It's a fun place, and it allows me to be around things I like to be around.
Oh, by the way, any top of the music composers that have done film or television that you like working with, or you have worked with, or you'd like to maybe work with in some way in the future?
Oh, gosh, I've worked with many, many people, even Jerry Goldsmith, you know, Michael Kamen before he passed, I worked with him, and there's really, really very few big composers, respectfully and humbly, that I haven't had touch with, because I was so immersed in music supervision for a good 15 years of my life. So I, you know, being involved with films like Judge Dredd and Die Hard with a Vengeance and Street Fighter and Addicted to Love with Meg Ryan and many others, you know, enabled me a firsthand experience and with very savvy, very educated and experienced and successful people at a young age. And it basically made television a bit easier. I will say the TV is very hard because it's quick and down and dirty. But You know, it gave me a better understanding of what was needed in making a successful TV show coming from motion pictures.
Yeah. By the way, Jerry Goldsmith was one of the really great geniuses of both film and television music. And also, Michael Caine, I believe, was the man that wrote the music for Terms of Endearment. Terrific
That's
show.
Right.
Anyway, I held it for a moment. I thought that we may have gotten David on the line. David, I thought we just had him on the line. Apparently, we don't. I'm going to wait 30 seconds and see if he does come back. If he does come back, we'll try to get him for a couple minutes. Anyway, we do want to remind you that you can see the latest episode of Toymakers tonight, 8:11 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, on Velocity. That's the automotive channel run by Discovery Communications, now in its sixth year on the air. Check your locals where Velocity is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.velocity.com. That's www.velocity.com. And once again, if you want to see the app, the series is making. You can check with your mobile phone maker or go to the website, right? You have a website with the show?
Say that one more. You know what? I've got David. If you'd like, I can merge these calls. Maybe we can get him on the line.
Yeah, let's see if we can do that at least for a couple minutes. And I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's take you off the line for a second. Let's do a little business, and then we will have you and David for a few minutes. So stay on the line there, Eric. And while Eric does that, we will have, hopefully, Eric and David back with us, or David finally with us. But first, let's give you some words from the fine folks at our sponsor, Audible.com. If you're looking for an empowering way to spend the holiday season, try this audiobook, You Do You, by Sarah Knight. She narrates it, and you can get it with a free trial offer to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital and audio entertainment, information, and certainly around this time of year, inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including wherever you are hearing this on right now, at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. And because it's by Amazon.com, great customer service wherever you are. So hear for yourself why in this day, particularly this holiday season, listening is new. And by the way, an Audible trial subscription does make a great holiday gift for Christmas or this upcoming 2018. So figure out for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Audibletrial.com/televised. And before we go back to our guest, let's get into our classic trivia question of the week. We've been having it all week long, so far no winners. And I'm so pumped about trying to get a winner this holiday weekend. Let's see if we can do it. So here's the question. Name the prison on Orange is the New Black. Name the prison on Orange is the New Black. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you'll win our prize of the week. The book previously on X-Men about the classic 1990s Fox Saturday morning series written by Eric LaWalde, who was a guest of this program several weeks ago, along with his wife, who was also a writer on the program. So, again, if you know the answer to our question, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. If you get the question just now, no problem. I'll post it tomorrow on Facebook, and also I'll post it tomorrow and Sunday if we need to on my Twitter handle. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in at all the very best. And now finally, joining us live from North Carolina is the chief toy maker of toy makers, David Hankin. David, happy holidays. Welcome in.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Very, very fine, thank you. David, where are you calling from? What city, North Carolina?
Listen, I'm on my way to Raleigh as we speak for one of our big parties. We got episode 6 tonight, so I'm going to be watching with the guys in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. And Eric Harriman, by the way, the executive producer, is back with us as well. David, when did you decide to turn your business into a television series? What made you decide this was the way to go?
You know what? I think it's a collaboration of a bunch of things. Eric and I have been friends for a while, and you know, I think it's just a natural progression of what you do. It's just an advertising tool is all it is for us. So a way to get out to the masses and really try to keep our industry alive.
I'll tell you what, Karen, David, we're going to keep both of you on for the next few minutes, but we have a web ID break, so we're going to do that right now. Coming up also our next half hour, we will have more from Eric and from David. The show is Toymakers. It happens tonight at 8:11 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Velocity. But also coming up in our next half hour, we will have our show to know. It's one of the classic TV shows this holiday season, a Charlie Brown Christmas. And we'll pay tribute to one of the giants of sports television, Dick Enberg, who passed away yesterday at the age of 82. Get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for my identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, where the 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your call for On Wheels Now. Check it out next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can catch the best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Remember, you're also catching our program on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Just go to iHeartRadio.com, put Smart Satellite in the search bar, click, and you're in, or go to Podcast at the top of the iHeartRadio screen, click that, then click the category Entertainment, and you can catch our show anytime you like. Welcome back to the second half of Smart Satellite on this Friday before Christmas, 2017. Simon Applebaum live from New York, and joining us live from Raleigh, North Carolina, is the toy maker himself of the series on Velocity this tonight at 8:11 Eastern Time, David Ankin, and executive producer Eric Harriman. David, back to you. You just joined us a few minutes ago. What's it been like to see your business televised on a weekly basis, and what kind of feedback do you get from the viewers?
You know, it's truly humbling. It's an amazing feeling. I can't stand to watch myself on television, but it's humbling. The response has been amazing. The doors it opens are amazing, and it's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm. And Eric, what surprised you about this experience, about covering what David does with his crew on a daily basis these last few years?
That's a great question, and I'll tell you the number one thing that surprised me. I knew we had a good show. I'm confident in what we do. I'm confident in what David does, but the show has been so overwhelmingly successful in the ratings. I had no idea that it would be. You know, we do. We scratch a certain itch out there, and we know that we do it well, and we expect a certain, return in exposure, but it's been overwhelming, and it's been really, really, really overwhelming in the sense of the amount of people that have warmed up to the show and like what David's doing and the characters. So that part, honestly, I respectfully, I try not to sink my teeth into something that doesn't, that I don't think won't have legs, and, I felt this would, but I had no idea that it would be as overwhelmingly successful as it has been.
Mm-hmm. You're speaking with Eric Harriman, the executive producer, and David Ankin, the subject of Toymakers. It is the program now in its second season on Velocity. That's the automotive channel run by Discovery Communications. It's been on the air since 2011. And the program is on tonight at 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time, also replayed on Saturday mornings on the very same channel. And both Eric and David joining us live. Eric from Los Angeles, David from Raleigh, North Carolina, this half hour on Tomorrow Televised. We're talking about television. Happy New Year with us this Friday before Christmas. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for both these gentlemen, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. We'll be with us for a few more minutes. And then coming up, we'll have our tribute to sportscaster extraordinaire Dick Enberg, who passed away yesterday at the age of 82. Plus, our show to know, and it's a big one, it's the all-time classic in animation, A Charlie Brown Christmas. David, what has you decide who you're going to build these gifts for? Is it something about the client, something about the challenge? What motivates you to take on particular assignments?
I a little bit of everything. Sometimes it's because I want to work with somebody. Sometimes it's the challenge of the build. They say it can't be done. And sometimes it's just something that I've always wanted to build. There's no one thing. I think it's a combination of a bunch of things that really get me going. I love to do things that other people haven't done. And in the same sentence, I love to do the standard old school hot rod stuff. So I just love what we do. And as long as I'm able to do it, I want to do it. So.
Mm-hmm. Eric, television, when it comes to scripted, has become more cinematic in recent years. What about the technique you use to document what David does? Do you use any unique cameras, whether it's microcams or minicams or body camera work or or put the camera in unusual angles. What do you do to follow what David's up to?
You know, we do a lot. We use the most modern drone technology available to us extensively. I think that's one of a big production value that we have. We really, you know, David prides himself on making toys that he wants to try to break, and he does, and we film that. And in doing so, we're pretty guerrilla about it, meaning that we it's heavy lifting, it's sweaty, it's gritty, it's dirty, and it's loud, smells of rubber and gasoline, which we like. But as far as the gear, you know, we shoot pretty standard gear, but we shoot a lot. We use a lot of GoPros. We use a lot of interesting angles. Drones, of course, again, are extensively used, and sometimes even two or three main cameras, switching between the three.
Mm-hmm. David, how much of your business, we had yesterday the people behind a show called Cash Cowboys that's on tomorrow on the Pop TV network, the Saturday morning show that deals with a family based in Colorado that helps reclaim land that has been tarred because of wildfires or earthquakes or whatever. How big a family business is your business, and are there certain parameters that you tell Eric, hands off, no cameras, this stays family business?
Well, listen, I, and Eric and I spent a long time before we ever did this really laying this out. It's about my business. I have a young son, and my family is completely off limits across the board. I let him allowed into the show because that's his passion, but I don't want to force that on Braden. But at the same time, there's a fine line of where it can hurt, it can ruin an ego, it can ruin a child, it can ruin a lot of things. So what I will say is the production team, you know, Eric is a pro. He's been doing this a long time. And he's really good at, my son feels at home. And when he feels at home, I feel at home with him, if that makes sense. But if anything, the protection of my family, you don't ever want this to ruin our life. You want it to enhance our life and everybody around us. So my friends, my family, people I do business with, truly want to grow into that and stay away from all the negativity. You know, I think, unfortunately, the world's way too negative. This is a positive, and I want it to be a positive for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. David, I understand that in addition to cars and bikes and trucks, you've done some cycle work on the show with, like, unicycles, bicycles, tricycles.
Yeah, there's not much I'm scared of. I truly... Eric's not joking. I feel bad for Eric. When he says he goes into guerrilla style, he never knows what he's going to get into. And we have played on real toys. I mean, like a toy with a big motor on it. And we played in 200-mile-an-hour cars and bikes. So, you can never really prepare for what's going to happen. But in saying that, I don't care if it's a toy. And I mean from a toy to an adult toy where it's a grown 200-mile-an-hour machine, I want to play on it.
Me too.
And I watch, David, so do a lot of viewers. You've got like over 130,000 people on Facebook liking what you're doing, what your company's doing, and what the show is showcasing. So obviously you're reaching an audience there. What's your dream job for 2018? If there was an assignment that came to you, or your colleagues, that you definitely want to do next year, what would that be?
Let me tell you something. I really am striving to build a hover motorcycle. I'm striving to do a bunch of things. But there is no dream job. I live the dream job with everything that I do. So realistically, in the future, every time I'm doing a season finale build, what's coming up on the 5th of January was my dream for this year. I've already started on the dream build for next year. Again, I think if there's one thing out of the box that I'm working on really hard for, not next season, but the following season, I will build a hover motorcycle that flies in and lands. So a lot of cool things in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as the near future is concerned, you can catch what happens in the folks of Toymakers Land tonight, 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Velocity. Check your local news for where the program and the network is available in your area on cable and satellite. Again, for more details about the program online, go to www.velocity.com. That's www.velocity.com. And also, while you're at it, check out the special Toymakers app that's now available on mobile and hopefully soon on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Eric Harriman from Los Angeles, David Enkin from Raleigh, North Carolina. Thank you both very much for coming on the air. David, all the very best to you this holiday season, your colleagues and your family, and for a wonderful 2018. Wherever you're at the cause next year, you're causing a whole lot more. And Eric, same for you and your crew. And thank you both for coming on and making our party before Christmas a wonderful one.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
Yeah, happy holidays, and can't thank you guys enough either. Everybody, Godspeed, and guys, have a good holiday season.
Be sure to turn
your
TV.
You're very, very welcome. You have it. Take care.
Take care.
Eric Harriman, executive producer, and David Enkin, the celebrity presenter of Toymakers, joining us live from Los Angeles and Raleigh, North Carolina, respectively. In the spring of 1968, something unique happened in the world of sports television. It was revolutionary. It was groundbreaking. And it transformed not only a sport, but transformed what sports television could do. It was the most hyped regular season college basketball game in recent memory, a game where UCLA, the top-ranked team in the country, featuring Lou Alcindor, now Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was the number one team with a 40-game plus winning streak, up against the number two team in the nation, Houston, led by Elvin Hayes. A budding entrepreneur by the name of Eddie Einhorn, who had earlier launched a service called TBS Television Network, decided, I'm taking that game, I'm putting it on in prime time, and whether or not we get a broadcast network, that game goes on. And it did. It was the first college basketball game presented on national television in prime time, and it was carried in syndication live on the TBS Television Network. And for play-by-play, they decided to bring in someone who just a few years earlier became UCLA's regular play-by-play commentator. His name was Dick Enberg. And lo and behold, it launched a career that lasted until last October, six decades as one of the great giants of sports play-by-play and a whole lot more. And we say all this, of course, because Dick Enberg passed away yesterday. He was found dead at his home in Ojala, California, when his family, concerned that he had not made a flight from San Diego to Boston, found him, bags packed, dressed, because of apparently a heart attack. Dick Enberg lived an incredible, amazing life. And from that role, going immediately overnight from regional play-by-play person for college basketball and football to national television personality was amazing. He was ready for it, and it turned out to be the beginning of an incredible career for him. Some people got the chance, if they didn't see that college basketball game, which was a stunner, and a high-rated program, one of the highest-rated non-network sports telecasts at the time. They only got to know him as a game show host on a program called The Perfect Match, syndicated by Screen Gems, that was on from 1967 to 1968. The idea was pretty simple and pretty daring at the time. Three couples would see if they, in fact, were perfect matches as set up by an IBM computer. If they knew that the match, if they determined their choices were correct, they would win cash and prizes. Now, the show, of course, was a little bit on the hokey side, but it was unique for its time, and it was Enberg's first national television role away from sports. He handled it quite well. From then on, it was a career that just turned him into one of the most versatile sportscasters you ever could see. He handled college basketball for TBS, many times featuring UCLA, but also featuring the National Game of the Week. And then in 1975, he began a 25-year association with NBC. He did it all, college football, college basketball, was the play-by-play man for years for the Rose Bowl games, did Super Bowls, worked with the likes of people like Tony Hawkins on college basketball, and that incredible threesome of Enberg, Al McGuire, and Billy Packer. Many people still think the greatest sports broadcasting team of all time. And on football, he was worked with the likes of Merle Nelson, Bob Trumpy, Paul McGuire. In fact, that was one of Dick Enberg's great points. No matter who he worked with, he gave them great leeway. He always brought professionalism. He brought dignity. He brought partnership to whatever assignment he did. And it turned out, as I said, he's one of the most versatile play-by-play people of his day. In addition to doing the major sports, including baseball, he also did horse racing. He did golf. He did tennis. And when his time was up, after 25 years at NBC, he went to CBS, where he worked with them on everything from Masters Golf to U.S. Open Tennis, and, of course, also did pro football and, for each time, Notre Dame football. He also worked for a while on Thursday Night Games on Westwood One, and in addition to hosting That Perfect Match, he went on to do one of the top, maybe the top sports game show of all time, Sports Challenge, which was in syndication throughout the 1970s and for a summer on CBS. Engberg was somebody who let the crowd and let the action that he was seeing and you were seeing dictate things. Of course, by now you know his catchphrases, "Oh my," and when he was doing a baseball game in California, "Touch them all" for local home runs for the local team. But my favorite, of course, my favorite of his clothing was, "And listen to the crowd!" When there was something special happening in sports, Dick Enberg knew, after he said that line, not only when to say something, but when not to. And when he said that line, he would let the crowd rise, let them take the action, take your breath away, and then take you to the commercial break. Like I said, Enberg knew not only when to say things, but when not to say things, and let the picture tell you the story. That's how amazing this person was. And he did it at such a high level for six decades. I'd also point out that he was also, along with Jack Whitaker, one of the first sportscasters to do writing, to do essays, which he would do starting with his work on NBC's Olympics coverage. And also, later on when he went to CBS, he would do that more often for golf and tennis and football and so on. And, of course, Enberg, with Billy Packer and Al McGuire, did a number of Final Fours, including the final game of the Men's National NCAA Basketball Championship. And, as always, a first-class job. Over the six decades, Enberg was also known for giving other people a break. No matter who he was parted with or whoever he worked with, he was a gentleman. He was a class act through and through and through. He was a remarkable human being and someone who nobody ever said a discouraging or bad or ugly word about him. He was one of those people I could say that never had an ugly bone in his body. Dick's last role was as play-by-play man for the San Diego Padres baseball games. He did that from 2010 to last October. And when he was done, he left the game in great shape, praised all his colleagues, and always tried not to make the game about himself, but about everyone who he covered. It's really amazing to me that Engberg had the career he had, and such versatility, and such class, and such professionalism from that first game back in 1968 on the national level to last. I miss listening to Dick Enberg, watching him, no matter who he was partnered with, no matter what the sport was, to just bring a great sense of the game, passion and joy and pride without overdoing it, without overhyping it to the American public. He was truly one of a kind and very, very special. And one more thing. If Dick ever wanted to, he could have been, and I think he may was, on his way to becoming one of the great game show hosts around. And this is Sports Challenge. He did Baffle. He did Three for the Money. And if it wasn't for NBC switching the time periods on both shows, they might have been long-running hits. Though he didn't do as many shows as contemporaries like Bill Cullen or Bob Barker or Jack Nards or Tom Kennedy. But the shows he did also had the same kind of passion, fun, and joy he brought to the world of sports. There will be nobody else like Dick Enberg, and there should not be, because Dick Enberg was one of a kind. What we can hope for is that we have future generations of sportscasters who learn from what Dick Enberg did and follow in his footsteps, not try to follow. Cover the game, cover it accurately, cover it with fun, don't overhype, and like he did, let the picture tell the story. Or as he liked to say a lot, listen to this crowd. Dick Enberg, no longer with us on this earth, passed away yesterday on the age of 82. He leaves behind a wonderful family and millions of television and radio fans, and our condolences to each and every one of them. Now, before we go and wrap things up for the week and leave you off for your Christmas holiday weekend, our Fear Group feature is Show to Know, where we usually highlight a program that you might not know about, but it's worth your while to watch because it's not well marketed, promoted, or advertised. And when it comes to this holiday season, there is certainly a show that everybody knows by now. And even so, you should still know it. And that's A Charlie Brown Christmas. A program that came out 52 years ago. And it came out because of two glorious entrepreneurs named Lee Mendelson and Bill Melendez, one the producer, one the director, and Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, who decided to finally take his creation, which had been around at that time for 15 or so years, and make it a television special. And they did so in a groundbreaking way. For one thing, the entire cast of kids were kids, not adults being kids' voices, but kids being kids. And secondly, when it came to music, it would be not the regular cartoon music you would find at the time, but jazz by the brilliant musician and composer Vince Guaraldi. But most importantly, this was a program that was out to debunk the commercialization of Christmas in a fun but certainly debunking way, and yet show, as Linus, one of the great characters of Peanuts, said, this is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown, to showcase the birth of Christ as mentioned in the Bible. When CBS saw the show, some of the management said, this is never going to work. You have taken this the wrong way. Maybe people like Peanuts, but they're not going to like it, what you've done here. Oh, yeah, Charles Schulz, you got him to write the script and all, but who's going to take the kids' voice? Who's going to take the jazz? And who is going to take the way you showcase the birth of Christ? Well, CBS put the show on December of 1965, sponsored by Coca-Cola, and lo, were they surprised. The show had half the audience tuning in that night watching. And Coca-Cola the next day received hundreds of phone calls from all over the country saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing us this level of wonderful family entertainment. And ever since, A Charlie Brown Christmas has been a staple of Christmas television. And of course it gave birth to a wonderful series of Peanut specials for all shapes, all sizes, all seasons, any time during the year. If you want to see the original Charlie Brown Christmas without the commercials and its entirety, no cuts, go to YouTube. And while you're there on YouTube, you can also hear the original soundtrack album in its own video form that Vince Guaraldi put together. The music is just wonderful and stunning and beautiful, including the theme that opened the show, Christmas Time is Here. If you've never seen a Charlie Brown Christmas, YouTube is a great way to see it. I believe ABC is now running Charlie Brown Christmas every year, although it is with commercials. And some of it is cut, by the way, for time. But if you want to see the original in all of its glory and all of its wonderful telling, go to YouTube right now and check it out. A Charlie Brown Christmas. It is a show to know any time, any year, any age. Is there a show to know that you think deserves the knowing for all of us listening to this program? Well, let me know, and if we use a suggestion on the air, you will get the credit. Just email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from. And again, if we use a suggestion on the air, you will get the credit. That's the show to know, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also use me on Facebook and find me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimon. TWBT. So, that's our program for today. Thanks to my guests for being here. Thanks to my guests all week long. We've had some wonderful guests these three shows on your pre-Christmas week. And we'll be back the next 2 weeks. We will have the last week of 2017, first week of 2018, Tuesday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. On our Tuesday show, we will have our top five developments of television in 2017. Also, our annual feature, Tomorrow Be Televised, Remembers, where we highlight the people in front of behind the camera who passed away over this past year. And believe me, when it comes to front of the camera, everyone from Dick Enberg to Jerry Lewis to Don Rickles to Mary Tyler Moore, it's an incredible parade of people, some of whom had iconic characters, some of whom had very versatile TV careers, some maybe just one contribution, but a great one. And we'll celebrate them all Tuesday on Tomorrow We Televise Remembers. And then on Friday, we'll have among our guests, Anthony Ha, the correspondent from TechCrunch. We'll talk about the technology scene coming up for television next year, including what we may be finding at CES, second week of January in Las Vegas. And coming up on our first January episode of 2018. Among our guests, we'll have the comedy duo creating and executive producing the new Freeform series Alone Together. That's Esther Pavitsky and Benji Alalo. Also, we'll have Stephen Dorris, the executive producer of Discovery Channel's new true crime series, The Interrogation Room. And coming your way later in January, we'll have the Emmy Award-winning director of The Wonder Years, Michael Dinner. He's the executive producer of one of the big new anthology series coming up early in 2018 from Amazon, Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams, based on the short stories of the great science fiction author behind Blade Runner, and so much more good stuff. That's all coming up in January as we kick off 2018 big time right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, make it so easy for you, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, we're available on podcast on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Anytime you like, go to iHeartRadio.com. Put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you have us anytime you like. Also, you can go to podcast on the top of the iHeartRadio main screen, click that, then click entertainment under categories, and you'll have us as well. And we hope that you binge listen or listen to us anytime you like over this extended holiday weekend. Share with a friend, spread that love. Remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about today's program? What's your thoughts on where TV is at going into 2018? We'd love to know. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And again, you can find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, our cartoon question is still in play, and I will give it to you one more time. When you have the time, let's give you the question again. Name the prison in Orange is the New Black. Name the prison in Orange is the New Black. If you're first with the correct answer of this extended holiday weekend, you'll win Previously on X-Men by Eric LaWalls. So get your entry in, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Oh, one more time, thank everybody, you and everybody, for the way you have been listening to our show this month. We've had over 11,500 replays alone, and we really appreciate it. And thanks to everybody who's been tuning us in, checking our show on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, also on iTunes, and on Apple TV's iTunes Podcast app. By the way, if you don't have Apple TV, make a great gift this holiday season. Go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Remember, we love hearing from you, so make your voice known, either online, on Facebook, on Twitter, or email. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not through those of Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio. Our production associate is Candace Williams here at BTR, where Andy Toe is general manager and Jay Sonnenberg, the executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com, proud development partner of the 2017 New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Check it out this holiday season. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a one-month trial and a free audio book, audibletrial.com/televise. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. On behalf of everybody at Blog Talk Radio and iHeartRadio, we hope you have a fantastic extended Christmas weekend or Kwanzaa weekend, whatever holiday you celebrate. Please make it a great and safe one. Spend time with your loved ones. Make sure you keep them company. And we'll have you back, hopefully, safe and sound, Tuesday. That's Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.